speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Indeed, it is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It is a situation that causes us to be what we ought to be, and of course it is that which we want others to also enjoy these blessings. If you hadn't known, who would have thought or ever thought that Sam Walton, driving around in that old pickup truck with his hat pulled down over his face, had one of the greatest fortunes in the United States? You know, appearances can be deceiving, can't they? Does it surprise you to learn that presently the vehicle of choice among millionaires is a Ford 150 pickup? You know, it just goes to show you can't judge the wealth of a person by the car he drives. Of course, Solomon knew this centuries ago. In Proverbs 13:7, he said, "One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth." Sometimes it's hard to account, isn't it, for the way people will act. They put up different kinds of fronts, and, of course, the mask they wear is not always what they are. Sometimes hypocrites are found to wear a mask of good-looking, delighted, and dedicated people, but they're not really that way. And that which is true of an individual may also be true of a congregation. You know, appearances can be deceptive. I know of a church situated in an area of renowned prosperity. It is nestled in the heart of a mecca of banking, located close to a renowned medical center. It reaps great benefits of being in a thriving center of manufacturing, and the city is booming, and the local inhabitants even turned down government help in the time of great disaster and rebuilt their city, but with their own wealth. That which is true of the city is also true of the church. Many congregations have wealth and prosperity, self-sufficiency, they think. There is no mortgage to be paid, no unpaid bills. And furthermore, they seem to hold no enormous erroneous doctrines. It's not plagued, of course, with heretics, it seems, or false teachers. And it looks like the ideal congregation. But remember, my friends, appearances can be deceiving. This supposedly thriving church just happens to be the church in Laodicea, of whom Jesus said in Revelation 3, "I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I have need of nothing,' not knowing that you're wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked." Well, this church, of course, needed some help, didn't it? And the Lord wrote them a letter so that they might know the difficulties that they were in. And because of that, he said he would spew them out of his mouth. There are those today who strive to teach that we cannot fall from grace, that once you're in grace, you're always in grace. And they wonder how you can get out of grace once you're in grace. Well, this passage tells us exactly how. The Lord says, "I will spew you out of my mouth." In other words, this is a sickening congregation to the Lord, and it is not that which is pleasing in his sight. I remember reading about an old man that was traveling in France by train, and a younger man sitting next to him watched him as he took out a Bible and began to read. "What are you reading?" he asked. "Well, I'm reading from the 6th chapter of Mark, the account of the loaves and the fishes. The writer tells of a vast crowd that followed Jesus until dark, and they were hungry. And with only 5 loaves and a couple of fishes, Jesus fed the crowd of 5,000, and the leftovers filled 12 baskets when that was all over." Well, a bit of scornful, this young man asked, "Do you believe that?" "Yes, I do," came the reply. The young man said, "I can see that you have been brainwashed. That could never happen. You see, I am a scientist. Everything in the world that happens can ultimately be accounted for scientifically, and the story defies the laws of science and therefore is sheer fantasy. Give me profitable, provable facts, and I will believe." The train began to slow down. "Here is my station," said the young man. "It was nice talking to you. I'm sorry I didn't get your name." The old man handed him a card. It read, "Louis Pasteur." He was one of the world's greatest scientists. Well, even today, there are those who feel belief in God's work and word is not compatible with learning and science. But faith is reasonable, my friends, and there is nothing talked about as blind faith. It is that which comes by hearing the word of God. And without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please him. And there's no contradictions between science, true science, and the word of God. That has been proven over and over, and yet those who claim to be scientists sometimes appear to be what they are really not. You know, no believer has anything to fear from a search for the truth. As a result, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. Again, we read from the Bible, For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 other talents. His Lord also said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. But I was afraid, and so I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast thine own. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now appearances here can be deceiving, can't they? It's kind of hard to tell the 5, the 2, and the 1 talent man, and it's hard to tell whether or not these men sometimes are using their talents. But most of the time it's very evident. To each of us, God has bestowed certain talents according to our several ability. He never demands of us things we're unable to do, but He does demand of us what we are able to do. We do not all have the same amount or the same kind of talents and abilities sometimes. Some are 5-talent people, others are 2-talent people, and still others are 1-talent people. But we all have some talent which the Lord has granted to us. Now, while the Lord was away, and we believe that's when he went into heaven and yet will come again to receive his own unto himself and to judge those who are not living in harmony with his will. But here each man was to develop what was given to him. And likewise, while the Lord delays his return, we're to put our talents to use. We're going to be held accountable, are we not, for what we do and what we're capable of doing while in this life. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he said we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive for the deeds done in the body according to what we have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now the 5 and the 2-talent men did not need someone to direct them as to how to use their talents. They simply used what they had and gained more talents. They looked for opportunities to make profit on what the Lord had given to them, didn't they? We too must be busy in using what the Lord has given us in order to further the kingdom of heaven. As a wise elder told me years ago, the best way to get a job done is to go to work. And he lived through the Depression. Once while he was repairing a man's roof, a neighbor saw him and hired him to do his roof. One job led to another. Sometimes teaching one the gospel leads to others who want to hear the gospel also. And Bible studies with individuals can be continually set up in that manner. Sometimes giving a helping hand to a needy soul leads to that soul's conversion unto Christ. But you know, the 1-talent man took his talent and hid it in the ground. And this he did because he was afraid, he said. The fact that he had only one talent did not excuse him, though did it, from developing that talent. He was not obliged to develop what the Lord gave to the five-talent man or to the two-talent man. He was to use the one talent that was given to him. And likewise, we're to use what God has given to us, not what God has bestowed upon someone else. So let us remember the responsibility that is ours in this life to do what the Lord gives us to do. We're told that after a long time, the Lord returned and reckoned with those servants. One day, we too, we don't know when, but the Lord shall return, and we shall give an account of how we have used or not used the talents that God has given us. God will render to every man according to his deeds, Romans 2 and verse 6.